Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here that we can study God's Word together. If you have your Bibles, you can be flipping over to Psalm 56. That's where we will be in our entirety tonight. Another announcement to make, and I know most of the ladies already know this because y'all have got a group text where this is sent out, but if you did not know, the Thursday night ladies Bible class has been canceled for this week. I think the temperature is supposed to be in the single digits that evening. And so that's been canceled for this coming week. It'll resume the week after that. But ladies, please make a note of that. Now, I mentioned Brother Taylor this morning in the sermon talking about the inexhaustible nature of God's Word. And for some reason, he had been on my mind here lately. And somebody had said something that reminded me. I know what it was. Mr. Darrell mentioned the Memphis School of Preaching in the prayer this morning. Not long after I'd gotten here, I went to the lectureship. And, of course, Brother Taylor was there. He was normally up there for the lectures. And, of course, he knew everyone, and everyone knew him. And he was asking me, he said, "Do you know so-and-so?" I said, "Well, I know of them, Brother Taylor." I said, "You know, but I don't know them personally." He said, "Well, let me introduce you." And so we walked up, and the way he introduced me to people that whole week was, "I'd like for you to meet my preacher, Justin Pascal." And after the first time he did it, I told him, I said, "Brother Taylor, you can't do that." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You cannot introduce me as your preacher." He said, "Well, do you preach at Ripley?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do I attend at Ripley?" I said, "Yes, sir, but that doesn't mean you can say that." But that's how he introduced me to individuals. So it was one of those humbling experiences, I can tell you that much. In Psalm 56, we get another psalm of David. And in this psalm, David is talking about some of the things that were taking place to him, but also he was talking about the God in which he placed his trust. And that's what Psalm 56 is all about. It is about trusting in the God of heaven. You know, we have on our currency in the United States this statement, "In God we trust." But sometimes you have to ask the question, do we really trust him? Because sometimes our statement and our actions don't match up, right? But as we look at this Psalm of David, we see in David someone who was truly placing his trust in the God of heaven. As we look at these 13 verses, we're going to notice them somewhat out of order, but we're going to notice them under two main points. The first thing that we want to notice together tonight is David's foes. David's foes. We begin in verses 1 and 2, and we see three things in this first point that are taking place, that are happening to David because of these individuals. And the first thing that we see is the fact that they dog his steps. Everywhere David turns, they're there. In verse 1, Psalm 56, he says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me." Everywhere David seemed to turn, there they were. He could not seem to escape these problems that he was facing, these things that he was dealing with, these individuals who were constantly dogging his step. He says in verse 2 that my enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. David says it's not just that they're after me. They're proud that they're doing it. They take pleasure, if you will, in coming after me and attacking me. No doubt this would be discouraging to David. To have these individuals, I mean, this is David who is going to serve as king. David who is striving to lead the nation of Israel. And yet there are these individuals that are there after him. And so as he talks about these individuals, he calls out to God to be gracious to him. And so everywhere he turns, they're there. But not only do they dog his steps, secondly, in verse 5, we see that they twist his words. In Psalm 56 and verse 5, "All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil." The idea that they say things about David and say that he's saying this, he's doing this, these are the things that are... David can't get away from it. David has these individuals who are twisting everything that he's saying. You ever had that happen to you? You say something and you know what you meant by that. You know what you were trying to convey. Maybe you didn't say it in the best way possible. Maybe it wasn't done in the way that you should have done it. But instead of someone thinking the best of what you said, what did they do? They thought the worst, right? They in a way twisted what you meant, what you were trying to say. David says, that's what's happening to me. They're injuring his cause. Their thoughts are evil against me. And if it wasn't bad enough that they were dogging his steps, if it wasn't bad enough that they were twisting his words, in verse 6, we see that they also plot his death. Notice verse 6, they stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. These individuals are waiting for that opportunity to take David out. As we look at this idea here, he's facing some really tough stuff, y'all. He's facing a lot of difficulty here. He's got these individuals that are so much against him, even to the point of wanting to take his life. And if that was all that the psalm was about, man, that would be a bleak psalm, wouldn't it? But in Psalm 56, we see the most important part, and that is David's friend. As David deals with these different things from his foes, we see that David has a friend in all of this. And four things that this friend does for David. And y'all, as we look at these four things, recognize that these aren't only four things that God does for David. These are four things that God does for us. When we're dealing with difficulties, I realize we're, hopefully at least, we're not going to deal with difficulties to the severity of what David is, to the point of people plotting our death. But when we're dealing with individuals maybe who have twisted our words, maybe someone who is constantly watching for that opportunity to say something against us or to cause us some type of trouble, to spread rumors about us, whatever it may be, in those instances, we can turn to God. We can trust in Him. Four things that He did for David, four things He'll do for us. Number one, God relieves his fears. God relieves his fears. Notice verses 3 and 4. David says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. You know, this was something that David had learned over time. You know, placing our trust in someone, that's not something that we just automatically do, right? I mean, you don't walk up to a complete stranger and have complete and utter trust in that individual, right? That's something that develops over time. As that relationship grows and strengthens, then trust builds within that relationship. And that's what we see here with David. David can make this statement because of that relationship that he has with God. It's a relationship that has grown, that is strengthened, that has been built, and as a result, that trust has grown within it as well. And so he says, when I'm afraid, when all these things are happening to me, when these people are dogging my steps, when they're twisting my words, when they're plotting my death, he says, here's what I do. I put my trust in God. I trust in Him to handle these things. Verse 4, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? He says, these individuals, what can they really do? Could they ultimately take his life? Yes. But whose hand is he in? He's in God's. Even if he leaves this earth, God's still got him. And so he places trust in him. God can relieve those fears. Verse 9. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. He says, these enemies that are coming at me, when they realize who is on my side, they're going to retreat. They're going to go back. Because God's with me, not with them. And with that, David knew that he didn't have to fear. There's a children's song, and I don't remember all the words to it. But I remember this section of the song, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." That's in essence what David's saying there in verse 9. God's with me, and I know He's going to protect me. What did God do for David in the midst of trouble? Number one, God relieved his fears. Number two, God records his sorrows. God records his sorrows. Notice verses 7 and 8 now. "For their crime will they escape? In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" In essence, David's saying God sees. God knows what's going on. I think sometimes if we're not careful in times of trouble, in times of distress, in times of problems in our life, I think sometimes if we're not careful, Satan will use those instances to try to convince us that God doesn't care. That God isn't paying attention. That God doesn't know what you're dealing with because He's not really there for you. Don't listen to Satan in those times. David says, "Here's what I know. God's seen in every bit of it. God knows what is taking place." Notice He takes count of my tossing. You know when you got something trouble you and you try to sleep at night, what do? Toss and turn, don't you? Notice what David says. God counts those. You think He's not paying attention? He counts the number of times, David says, that I toss back and forth. The tears that I cry, God takes note of those. The poetic statement that he makes here is, "You put my tears in your bottle." But in other words, God takes note of those tears that have fallen. He raises the rhetorical question, "Are they not in your book?" In other words, God, you record all of this. You have all of this down. You know what I'm going through. Y'all, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, the one that spoke it into existence, is concerned about you and the things that you're facing, the problems that you deal with, the sorrows that you feel. Y'all, God cares. And because of that, we can put our trust in Him. Notice when David opens this statement about God keeping track of all this, he asks the question at the very beginning, "For their crime will they escape?" In other words, these individuals who have done all of this to me, the ones who have caused the tossing, the ones who have caused the tears, he says, are they going to escape? And the question is rhetorical. No, they're not. God takes note. He knows. He knows what they have done. Notice God's wrath is going to be cast down as a result. We can place our trust in God because God will relieve our fears. He records our sorrows. Number three, for David and for us, we see that God receives His praise. Notice verses 10 through 12 with me. "In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you." You know, you go back into the book of Leviticus, and there were offerings specifically that were offerings of thanksgiving. They were offerings that were offered to say thanks to God for what He had done. And David says here, I'm going to perform my vows. And I'm going to offer these offerings of thanks. I'm going to give you, God, the praise. Why? Because you're the one in whom I trust. David understood that the same God that relieved his fears, the same God that recorded his sorrow, is the same God that should receive his praise. When things got better, David didn't say, "Hey, look at what I did. I handled all this." Well, David understood that it was God behind the scenes. It was God who was helping him. And so as a result, David praised the God of heaven. And then finally, number four, God redeems his life. In verse 13, "For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." David closes the psalm by saying, "You saved me. You pulled me out of all of it. You redeemed my life." David gives us four really strong reasons to trust in God, to place our trust in Him, not just in difficult times, but in all times. As we close out, this last point, that God redeems his life. You know, in the psalm, David's talking about his physical life. But God didn't just redeem our physical lives when we're in trouble. More importantly, and most importantly, he's redeemed our soul. Friends, he's provided a means for you and I to be forgiven, a means for you and I to stand just before him, a means for you and I to spend eternity in heaven with him. Will you take advantage of that redemption tonight? Maybe for you that means becoming a Christian, believing in Jesus and turning from sin, putting Christ on in baptism, having those sins washed away. Or maybe you have done that and you realize tonight that, you know what, I'm not living as I should. I'm not where I need to be. I need to get my trust back in the God of heaven. Then friend, come back home. God stands ready to redeem you once again. Do you trust in God? Friend, if you haven't placed your trust in Him, make sure that you do right now as together we stand and sing.